Hi, this is Dan Gilbazan, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Jazz here, and I am so digging the Geekcast Radio Network.
Cliff Jumper, commence countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, ToyCast. Oh, yes. Listen in to the only toy podcast you will ever need.
Hello and welcome to ToyCast. This is episode 194. I'm, of course, TFJ and Mike, and joining me, not always, as always, but as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello.
The last time you were on here, we were doing something about countdown. Or something. I don't remember when you were on before then.
Something about a beastly Megatron, I think.
Probably, something like that. But since then, folks, this is, I don't know how many parts this is going to be, but this is part one of Megatron's masterful creations, because holy crap. So you've been 3D printing for how long now?
Since June of last year, of 2023.
So almost a year.
Yeah.
And you found the Decepticon chair from the Nemesis, and you're like, hey, I'm going to print this for you. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, all right. So what was the process? That, I mean, obviously most people know, but for those that don't know, you have to get the filaments, you have to get the patterns, and just walk me through the process of how you start doing this. This specific chair thing that I have.
This specific one. Okay. Yeah. So I had to hunt for, because you were like, I'd love to have a chair for my, you know, because you were like, at the time you were going to get the MDLX Megatron or something.
Yeah.
And I started searching around to different places. Cause I mean, I'm frequenting a lot of the different 3D printing sites anyway, because I mean, hello, I'm printing Star Trek ships and Transformer upgrade kits and add-ons. And I mean, yeah. So I started looking, and there was multitude of different, Megatron chairs, or even, I mean, they have the Beast Wars one from, you know, the Dark Side. They have, you know, J-Axis's chair from G2. They have a couple of different G1 ish chairs that are either associated with Starscream or with the Nemesis, or just things of that nature. And I started kind of doing some digging. I found one that pretty much fit all the, you know, the check boxes of the what Megatron's chair should be, and it just happened to be free, which is my favorite type of 3D print file. Because predominantly, like, I don't want to pay for any, and I try and find a free option for just about everything. And for the most part, you can.
Talk about that for a minute. Yeah, what's the, like, the 3D print files? What kind of files are they? Talk about.
So they can range from different file formats. The majority of the ones that I download are STL files. I have no idea what it means, but... Okay. It's something about how it slices the files though. And they're basically prepared and ready for 3D printing in most cases. Sometimes they're an object file, like an OBJ file, or, I think there's like MFM or something files too, or MFE files, something. Predominantly most of mine have been either, STLs or, OBJ files, which convert into the STLs. and you import them into software. There's a bunch of different ones. Some are free, some cost. Most of the time, you get the one that's associated with your printer. So, like, I have a Creality, and they have, like, a Cura. It's like Cura Ultimaker. I don't know if Cura makes a printer or if Ultimaker is part of Creality. Either way, I use that software predominantly to convert my files, and they had this particular, like, the chair. Like I said, it was free, and I found it. There's a bunch of different resource websites, like Thingiverse or Cults 3D, or there's like Makerspace, or there's a couple other ones like Printables. I found a couple of good Star Trek ships on there. Most of my stuff has come from Thingiverse or Cults 3D, and a lot of the groups for, you know, Star Trek or for Transformers or things like that, they predominantly use a lot of those because, one, they can make money, or two, they just kind of, they have some free items, some paid items, and so I downloaded the chair files, converted them in the software, because you still have to slice them.
Right.
When you import it, you have to, like, position it how you want it. You can rotate the file. You can, like, I can rotate the pieces. I can shrink them, stretch them, whatever needs to happen. I can tell it how much plastic to fill in. I can tell it how little to fill in, what direction to build it. So, like, you can have it do zigzags or straight lines. The zigzags kind of build stronger parts. You can have more infill, less infill. The thing I didn't realize was how to do all that before I printed the bottom half of your chair. So when I printed the bottom half of the chair, I burned 250 grams of purple filament because I had it filling in, like, massively, which is why the base is kind of heavy. And at the time, I didn't have, like, that's why, like, part of the back is a little, like, stringy looking, is because I think it was laying down, and I didn't have the print bed filtered down as tightly as I have it now, which is why the back printed better.
Yeah.
But I did less infill, and so it was able to be a little bit lighter, but still just as strong, and I was able to, like, get it in there. But yeah, they can take a while to print, depending on what you're trying to print or how in depth it has to go or how much filament it has to use. So, like, the bottom half of the chair, I think, took 23 hours.
Oh, wow.
And the back half of the chair took 12, because it said originally 18. And then when it hit a certain point, I was like, screw this noise, I'm going to speed it up and see what happens. And I started manually tweaking it. I was like, okay, we started 100%. I jacked it up to 120. Then I was like, oh, it's still printing fine, 150. And then I think I hit it up to 200%, which is kind of pushing it for the printer. This particular one, anyway. Like, some of the newer ones, you can print it like 500x.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I could have printed, like, the chair and probably the entire chair in probably like 5-6 hours. Maybe 7. Like, the entire chair, though, not just the bottom or the top. Yeah. So I'm laying, like, some of the newer printers are appealing for that reason alone, but I also don't want to spend $600+ on a new printer when there's theoretically nothing wrong with mine. I will say it's a headache to print with a printer, especially one that's not, like, they make ones now where people can pretty much print and go.
Mm-hmm.
This particular one's not one of those. It requires a lot of work and a lot of upgraded parts. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've had to update, like, how it pulls the filament into the machine, how it, you know, the print bed, because they come with, like, a glass print bed, and mine got scraped to crap just because the needle for the nozzle of it scraped against the print bed at one point and just kind of grinded on it, and so it ruined the print bed. And so I bought a magnetic aluminum that I can literally pull the print bed off because it's a piece of metal that's magnetic to the piece that I stuck to the heating element of the bed. And so now I can pull it off of there instead of chiseling. And I learned, too, that when you're waiting for it to cool, it's better to just let it cool than to try and chisel it off, because you're just going to scrape the print bed and you're going to mess up the leveling of the printer, which I discovered the hard way.
Gotcha.
So now I just kind of wait, or I pull the thing off and it affects nothing, and I just can bend it slightly and then it pops off, which is nice. And so like when I printed your chair specifically, the I had the glass print bed for the bottom half, and then I think I had the aluminum for the top. And then there's the element that's difficult, which is trying to fit the pieces together, because often when you print something at different calibrations or just in general, it's supposed to have parts that are supposed to fit together, and they don't. So right. You have to often chisel something or like sand away or something like that. So like there's a part of the base where it sticks up, like there's some pegs that stick up and are supposed to attach to the backer as it goes in there. And the backer was too thick where it needed to attach. And so I had to chisel away enough so that it would latch in there. And then I had to super glue it in place, because usually with that kind of stuff, you have to anyway. It's not like a 5mm peg where you bolt it in and it's like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, man, this thing is amazing.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah. Look here, folks. Just listen to this, all right? And I'm not trying to drop it. I'm not trying to do anything, but I am going to let it go here. That's pretty heavy for a 3D print, considering the other thing I have 3D printed is a Funko sign.
It's very hollow.
But the Funko sign is the Funko sign, though, so it's not like it needs to be as thick as Megatron's. Like, literally, this base, folks, you could poke somebody's eye out with it. Or maybe the top. Yeah, but, this is... How did you... Now, I see that the buttons are red. How did that... Was that in the print?
So,
was that in the
file? No, I hand-printed that, hand-colored it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I have a lot of paints, although some of them are starting to dry out because I've had them for like 2-3 years. In which case, I typically buy another one because I can go to Hobby Lobby and they're like $1.99. So it's not like stupid expensive. It's like, oh, it's $2. So I'll go buy another one. Typically, I use a lot of the same colors. Like, I love the gold. I love the, you know, silver, red flake metallic, which is what I've been using on like my Dragon Megatron, along with the gold. I still need to finish my Dragon Megatron. I got like one arm and part of his back to do at this point. I've done all of the rest of it. I've hand painted a lot of stuff from a lot like my Thrilling 30 Rat Trap to a lot of the War for Cybertron Kingdom figures to some of the Legacy figures, the Power of the Primes Optimal Optimus. I've added some color detail that was missing, like some of the orange stuff, or I've 3D printed 2 different heads for Optimal Megatron. The recent one I actually like better than the first one. And I think I paid like a couple bucks for the head sculpt on both, like on one, and then the other one came out later, because the guy that did this one made the head actually in scale with the original Optimal Optimus head that went to it. But he also made it so there's 2 different face sculpts. So one with his like grimace and one with like the scowl. And then it's got the eye, the back of the head attaches to either one. So like I could paint that piece separately and then insert it and change the head out as necessary. And so that's been nice. So the head fits more in scale with the body at this point. I have options as well for the legacy Transmetal 2 Megatron that I could print and do the same thing. There's like three different head sculpts that somebody made. They actually look more accurate than what is in there that I got from other methods, but yeah, so I mean, I've printed G2 Megatron, his cannon, and elements so that when he transforms to tank mode, it'll actually look more authentic to the G2 original G2 figure. I've printed a stasis pod, which that sucker's huge. I can fit a deluxe figure in it. Relatively comfortable, but if I made it any bigger, I could probably fit my masterpiece Optimus Primal if I made it a little bit bigger.
Oh, wow.
I'm tempted to do like Megatron's chair from Beast Wars, but at the same time, like, I'm like, that's going to take up a lot of real estate, and I'm like, I don't really care enough to do that. I'm more so waiting for the guy that did the head sculpt for the Optimal Megatron and the Transmetal 2 Legacy figure to, he's working on a conversion kit for Legacy Transmetal 2 Megatron to turn him into Beast Machines cloaked Megatron. And I, from what I've seen so far, like, he's got the harness part of it, but he's, I guess, making it so that you can hide away the wings and the rest of the body inside of it. Like, to convert the wings or something, somehow. I don't know how, but I'm waiting to see what that is, because he's also going to have a kit where you don't necessarily need that figure to make this, which I'm excited about just as much, because I'm tempted to just 3D print the whole figure, like I've done with my IDW Beast Megatron.
That is cool. Yeah, no, when I took the pictures and whatever else, because most of the time, the Funko Pops don't leave the boxes, folks. But when they do, it's four pictures. And right now, they just finished up Funko Pop Digital NFT Transformers Wave 2. So those will be coming later this year. The Legendary or the Grail or whatever. No, it's the Grail. The Grail on that was King Starscream. So there is a Starscream Funko Pop already. It's in my hand as I speak. But they're going to do a King version with his crown on him. I have never, since I've owned it, I've never taken the Starscream Funko Pop out of the box. And taking it out of the box now, I just now realized he has Megatron as a gun in his right hand. And I'm like, oh, that's cool as hell. Because most of the pictures I've taken are, obviously, I have the Generation 1 Buckethead Megatron Funko Pop. I have the Energon Mace version, which is the one where it's referencing More Than Meets the Eye when he and Optimus with the Orange Axe had the battle above Sherman Dam. So I put Megatron in the chair, and then I put Starscream in the chair, and then I had Soundwave and everybody else around it and whatever else, and yeah, even though I was initially looking at this for either the 3-0 MDLX Megatron or even the new, I need to get and test out and see the Yolo Park AMK Pro Series Megatron to see how that would fit, if it would fit. But Funko Pops, man, fit perfectly in this just standing up. Like, you don't, and it's only the 4-inch ones. It's not like, yeah, you know, I'm not trying to put 10-inch Optimus into this tiny chair. That's not going to happen.
Well, and it's funny because I also looked at, like, I took a picture of it when I was kind of previewing it and showing it to you. I was like, hey, look, G2 Megatron sitting in his throne.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
Because I was like, yeah, this looks kind of neat. I'll throw him in there and see how well it looks and kind of fit with it, honestly. Yeah, I just don't need a throne for him necessarily.
Yeah. Well, and again, like, for me right now, even though most of the Funko Pops I do have don't come out of the box, the ones that do are specifically for display. So having a display piece like this specific to whatever the franchise, like, not that you're going to 3D print a Battle Cat, but you know what I mean? Like, something that fits it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And when I put the pictures up, my buddy Fun Employed, him and his partner Random Hat Studio, they were on episode They've been on two episodes. They were on the last episode when we were ranting about a bunch of stuff toy collecting wise, and then they did their Origins episode right before the countdown that we did, the Top 100 Toys countdown. Showed it to them. I put the pictures online, and as soon as I put the pictures online, he messages me like, I'd love to have that for my King Starscream. And I'm like, well, I'll ask Steve how much he wants, because how much would you charge for this exact how you did mine?
See,
what would you
charge? See, I don't know. Like, I mean, I have the I figured out it costs, it's like, it's about 500 grams of the purple filament. And then it can take, like I said, it takes, depending on how it's printed, it can take like 2 days to print.
Right.
And then, of course, it was like $12 shipping. And then, you know, the paint decor stuff for it. Like,
yeah.
So.
I mean, just obviously you're going to charge for shipping. That should not. That should
well, and be, see, this is know, the thing, too, is like, I almost wonder, like, because the War for Cybertron or whatever version of the figure he is. Starscream, I believe, is going down in price. I don't know if it's the same as the chair that comes with it, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, so I don't know, like, I would think I would be charging pretty close to around what it costs to get the Starscream that comes with the chair, just because it's a 3D print and, you know, time and all of that.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. More so, like, again, obviously, shipping is shipping. That's fine. But, like, what would you charge somebody for your time to make someone this? That isn't me, obviously.
Probably, like, $60 or $70 just because of all of the things included. Oh. Like, that okay. Just kind of, like, the custom paint and then, you know, the time and everything else, so. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's not a bad deal. Now, the Stasis Pod, somebody was like, I'll give you, I think they were trying to like buy it off me for like $50 or something. I'm like, yeah, right.
Oh, that's more like $300.
I'm like, that was literally a week of hell.
Yeah.
That thing was monstrous. I printed my son a smaller version of it, of the same pod. I think I still have it or something, or it might still be here. The console screen doesn't flip, like it's because it's so small, it didn't print with the right parameters to stick a paper clip in it, whereas this one does. And it can fit like a core class figure if you're lucky, more so like a mini con type thing. And that one, his took me, I think, a couple of days to print, more so just because I had to print a bunch of little parts and the infill was probably higher than it needed to be. And I was just learning how to do it. The big Stasis Pod, though, that sucker took me literally about 2 weeks between like printing and painting, just because the massive amount of parts that come with that. So that thing I would like completed. I see why some of the, like, there's a place that does that Funbee Studio thing. And they literally charge you about $300 for the fully painted thing. And now mine's not as pristine as theirs is. But I felt like some of theirs was kind of lackluster in color, whereas mine's not. And I have some decals on it and stuff like that. But again, it's like super uber hand printed and, or hand painted and stuff. And I didn't polish it like enough to smooth it out and things like that, just more so because it's for me and I don't really care. yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that one for less than like a couple hundred just because that's such a pain. I would sell probably the one I have for like 150 or something, but yeah. I don't know if I would do a Stasis Pod again.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, well, like I was tempted to print like a the Dragon Zord, and I was like, no. I'm like, I really don't want to go through that because it's like a million parts. I could print like a Masterpiece Optimus Prime that doesn't transform, or like a Power Master Prime from like the Marvel Comics But again, it kind of falls into that boat of too big, too many parts, and I don't want to mess with it. I've done now, like, Star Trek ships. Those usually come in a couple of parts, and I have no problem throwing those together. There's some people that have done kits where you're, like, they actually break down each part based on what color you need, and then it all snaps together, and they're like 20, 30 parts or something. But then, I mean, you have a fully complete, don't need to paint starship, which I'm toying with the idea of doing, but I also don't mind painting because I don't want to spend a lot of time assembling like I did the, Zeonizer from Power Rangers Zeo.
Now, what actually started this all, folks, is a Transformers action figure, like how it always starts, but the Takara Tomy Transformers Dramatic Capture Series Nemesis Bridge, Shockwave, Megatron, and Soundwave official images. This is from the
Don't they come with the chair too?
Yeah, that's what started this, was because I was like, ooh, chair. I don't necessarily need the Megatron, Shockwave, and Soundwave, but ooh, chair, because the chair at the time looked cool. And I'm looking at the chair, and it has a lot more. It's got a Decepticon logo embossed into the back of it. It's got a lot more stuff in it as far as the...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more detail. It's got a lot more, like, grooves and crevices and things on it.
Yeah.
And it does look spectacular. Like, don't get me wrong, I do like me some polished, like, additional components. That's one thing, like, Hasbro, I feel like, misses the boat on. It's like, don't give us, like, a million repaints. And I get they're trying to milk the design, like in the molding, but give us some accessories that go with them. Like, give us some of the, you know, the playset stuff. Like, that's one thing that they've always been terrible at, and like Playmates has always been really good at.
So I just put the old photo of the dramatic crap. I can't talk. It's in the text window for the thing here. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. I kind of like that mine doesn't have the, like, it has horizontal lines at the bottom of it with just one little black piece on the underneath. But the back of it doesn't have, like, these veins in it. Like, I think you did a hell of a lot better job. Like, the only thing, like, and I'm not complaining at all. Hello. He's not complaining whatsoever. I'm like, ooh, Decepticon logo. How could I get, I can probably find a Toy Hack sticker.
I actually have a ton, so don't spend your money. If you really want one, I will send you one.
No,
I have
fine,
a ton.
But I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, ooh, Decepticon logo in the back of the chair on the, but honestly, not really, because when I have like Starscream or Megatron standing there, nobody's going to see it. They'll be standing like, so no, it's not, but I'm just saying, like, looking at just comparing the two as far as the quality goes, like, I don't know what Hasbro obviously used plastic and used whatever on this, and it's a little, like, this is more matte purple. It's Decepticon purple, but compared to that image looks more glossy on the purple as far as the outer shell and the seat and the whatever. And I'm like, yeah, hers is better. Like, I don't need to pay whatever the dramatic. And again, like, that was the whole genesis behind, like, me saying to you, it's, you're like, oh, if you ever want anything 3D printed, let me know. I'm like, I don't want a Decepticon chair. And because I don't care about Siege, Shockwave, Earthrise, Megatron, and War for Cybertron, Netflix, Soundwave. Yeah, I don't care about anything.
Yeah, I don't either. It's funny because I like the idea of some of them, but it's kind of humorous. Like, I'm looking at it now, and I'm realizing that had I been smart, I should have, like, when I was making the pre-Beast Megatron, I should have gone for J-Axis for a mold, because his legs fold up and his feet fold forward and do the exact thing I need them to do. The arms fold around the back. And I could remove easily the wings and some of the stuff that makes him an airplane. And he would basically be a hover tank. And nice. All I would have to do is take him apart, clean him, paint him, and then put a different head on him. And we would be good. And it's funny because I'm looking at, like, because I have J-Axis and I have that Megatron that I made. And then I have, like, G2 Megatron, and I have... basically, my prime is G2 Prime.
Okay.
Because I turned the Netflix Optimus Prime into G2 Prime. Like, I repainted him, and I made him glossy, and I made him kind of fit the aesthetic, and then put G2 decals on him. Just to kind of make it work. But I look at the J-Axis, and I'm like, I'm like, if he ever went down in price... and went on clearance somewhere, I might pick one up just to screw with it and see what happens. Because, like I said, like, his proportions are just right. I, you know, the chest wouldn't be identical, but I could paint over enough of it. And then there's, like, the little, he kind of fits the look of the, like, the IDW Megatron, but also, like, kind of the previous Megatron look. So, I mean, I feel like I could make him fit the look a lot better. Plus, he would transform.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, man. Oh, this thing is awesome. And like I said, folks, it's sturdy. Like, it's heavy.
Yeah, and that was kind of the intent. I was like, I really want this thing to not tip over if you put something in it. Or not to be... because I've printed some stuff, and you can literally hold on to it and squish it. And it will crunch. Like, I printed a, and this one isn't terrible. I printed a, one of my kind of bucket list things of things to print is a Enterprise E. Like, it's just one of those ships. Like, I've never owned one. Or, well, right. I shouldn't say never. I owned the Playmates one as a kid, and it was hot garbage. Like, it made sound effects. It lit up, but it was a brick. And there was no definition to it, nothing substantial. Like, my Enterprise D was better. My 1701 Enterprise was better. And my Enterprise E was just, like, I always kind of felt underwhelmed by what it was. And I've been trying to print this sucker since I got the printer. And I printed, I scaled one down, and it's not horrid. The underside didn't print very well. And then the part that holds the nacelles on printed so paper thin that when I went to get it apart, like, you can see through part of it. It just, like, flaked off. So, like, I could probably repair it, and it's smaller than some of my other prints. So I feel like if I scaled it up a little bit and then kind of thickened the infill, I feel like I could get more detail out of it and reprint it and be fine. But, it's a halfway decent print, but it's not enough that I'll do anything with it. But I've been printing,
right?
Like, I've been printing the different morphers. I've been printing, like, add-ons for stuff I've got on my shelf, bases for some of my starships I've 3D printed. I still have a giant Enterprise G that I'm. It's not it, when I say giant, I mean it's like, it's almost a foot long. Compared to the one that I printed that's a smaller scale that's, like, five or so inches in my display case. But I'm doing a different paint work with it, so I'm kind of toying with different methodologies for it. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to what people build or create the 3D print files for, and then I can print from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else you want to bring up, sir? Anything else we want to talk about?
I 3D printed Green Ranger armor because I can't find a Red Ranger remaster. Because Hasbro stopped selling it. And it won't go in stock till the end of the year. So, and it's... it's like 100 plus just to get that stupid figure. And I'm like, well, I want the Red Ranger. I want that version because it comes with the armor. I want that version because the head sculpt is like the helmet isn't like squished. Like it's normal proportions. And then that would finally like kind of round out my MMPR group. I have my entire Zeo crew. I have all the Tommies. just missing his armor, but I 3D printed one and it's kind of crap because of whatever. And I've noticed this too with like 3D print files, depending on who makes them and how well they're designed depends on how well they print. Because if they're missing details or if there's no way for that thing to, although what I might do, cause I found out Microsoft actually has a 3D builder software built into the computer in Windows 10 and 11. You can, If your 3D printing software doesn't have a slicer that allows you to split the files, like cut them down the middle or cut them in half, you can import it in there and you can determine where you want to cut it.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
And then you can re-glue it or, you know, use magnets or attach it however you want later once it's printed. I say that because I got a Beast Wars Megatron helmet file.
Excellent. Yes.
And
yes, that will be in part two, folks, or part three, or part four.
Depending on when I can get that one started. So I'm trying to figure out what the best way to print, because I only have so many inches of space in diameter on the print bed and height. I think it would be fine if I flipped it for height. The main issue is thickness, and then of course it won't print the entire head, like the entire helmet on my print bed, to where it will actually fit my head. So I figured out by using this 3D builder software in Microsoft that I can cut the file in half. So like I can cut the head down the middle, so I can have a back half and a front half, in which case usually what those people do when they do those, like I've seen guys with 3D printing stuff, they'll print like helmets or like, you know, like the Spider-Man or Deadpool or, you know, different things. And then they'll use like these magnets that they've grafted into certain areas. And then so that it will attach by magnets so they don't have to glue it together. And so they can take it on and off and it's very modular. But I've looked at that and I'm like, that might be in my future. And then they've showed how to, like, I've been watching like files on how to make the helmet so where the eyes are mesh and you can have them light up and still see through it. So that's my goal, is like I want to try and print a Megatron helmet, have it light up and see through it and wear it. Cool, that's if cool. I can make it print properly, and I have enough filament for it. I really want to try it. Some of it I would try and print in purple and then some of it in gray, but it would depend because it's kind of all one file. Like there's not a spot. Some files are built with multicolor and some are not, and this is not one of those. Like they literally put it together as like one file and they're like, all right, have fun. So yeah, I would probably more than likely just paint it, like print it one color and just paint it. But that's one of those things I'm kind of looking forward to.
Yeah, very cool, very cool.
I think that's all I got.
There's other TF news things, but this is all about Steve's Customs, and I'm just kind of scrolling through TFW here, and I'm just like, oh god, oh god.
Well,
oh
most
god.
Of their, most of Hasbro's toy news was kind of a nothing burger.
Yeah, pretty much. Which I don't know why. Like, why would you spend? And that's a whole other rant for
a whole
other
day.
Transformers. What I will say here on ToyCast is this ToyCast episode will be out before the next episode of All Things Transformers. As of today, Monday, March 18th, as we're recording this, they put out a story that Transformers, the movie writer Ron Freeman, has cancer and needs our help. So there's a GoFundMe up to help Ron, and it's not being organized for him, so... by other people, so, but Ron and Val, his wife of 51 years, need help. Ill health and the mounting bills that follow mean that they need to move urgently to a less expensive rental near the hospital on which they both rely for their care. So, yeah, I will have the GoFundMe link in the show notes for this episode. That so sucks. Mm-hmm. Cancer sucks.
Well, age comes for us all, and it sucks.
Yeah, but, like, fuck cancer. Like, seriously?
Yep.
So that just absolutely sucks. I think we're going to go to a quick ad break. Come back to close the show right after this.
When will this insanity end?
So basically, my name is Funemployed, and I'm here with my partner at Random Hat Studio, a.k.a. Emily. And we stream on Whatnot every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. We look for family, friends, rehoming great collectibles to people that are willing to partake, and we give a portion of our funds every week to a specific charity and looking to pay it forward back to the community that made everything that we do so wholesome.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
We are Two Mikes, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mikes, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Hey, guys, this is Mason. I just wanted to hop in here and tell you about my YouTube channel, Wasatch Pop. Essentially, it's dedicated to everything pop culture and collectibles, but I like to really focus on Funko Pops and obviously the other things that I enjoy and collect. But I like to go out on hunts to different stores to see if I can track down the things that I am looking for. And I also like to do a little bit of twist where I go to, like, thrift stores, garage sales, try to find things, you know, to fund my collection in order to not spend a ton of money. I also go to different events, stores, conventions, and if that's something that interests you, definitely be sure to subscribe and hope to see you over on the channel.
Just an old guy talking about old toys. It's me, Willie, from the Toy Tube Podcast. I talk about toys from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, few 90s, and some mixtures of other toys in there as well. If you'd like to hear me talk about some old toys in podcast form, I'm available on Apple, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Just like an infectious earworm, I'm all over the place. If you like to see videos on old toys and old retro games, check out my YouTube channel at Arcade USA. Thanks for listening.
One of the primary themes of ToyCast is that we focus on throwing it back to the past. We are who we are today because of the nostalgic memories and experiences from our childhood. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this show if it weren't for the toys that made us so addicted to nostalgia.
Throwback Toys Chicago is your primary go-to collectible store to reclaim the toys that drove those memories and experiences. Specializing in action figures from all of your favorite toy lines like Star Wars, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, Silverhawks, Ghostbusters, TMNT, Mask, and more, get your dose of nostalgia with a shop run by collectors for collectors. Whether you are looking for a loose G.I. Joe ice cream soldier, a packaged Leonardo, recent Star Wars Black Series figures, or an AFA-graded Boba Fett, Throwback Toys Chicago is all about throwing you back into your geeky obsession with toys. Visit the shop at 1450 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, just two blocks south of Ashland and North Ave. Call the shop at 847-830-1031 or email them at tbtchicago@gmail.com. Visit them and give Throwback Toys Chicago a chance to throw you back to your childhood. We are back here on ToyCast, and this will be a new series that we have going forward as Steve does all kinds of masterful creations that he does. Any final words from you, sir, before I run through the closing?
Don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you for the chair. It is awesome. It is amazing. And woo-woo. Looking forward to seeing whatever things I kept looking at the 3-0 MDLX, and I'm like, okay, and I've got a couple of the other ones of those. I've got the Nemesis, I've got the Goldbug and the Cliff Jumper, and I haven't even taken the Nemesis Prime out of the box because it's just too much for me right now, and I'm just like, ooh, YOLO Park. Simple assembly and blah, blah, blah. No muss, no fuss. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try that eventually. So, we'll see. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please, Spotify, and any other podcatcher client you choose to use. Follow us all on our social media stuff. It's TF ToyCast on Twitter, X, whatever, Geekcast Radio, same thing. I am at TFG1 Mike, and yours is?
At SCP21.
Next time on ToyCast, I think it's going to be Neon 90s, I think is what the next episode is. I think Josh is going to make a return, and we're going to talk about the neon toys of the 90s and what a fad neon was in the 90s. So I think that's what's happening next time. I think. I could be wrong. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
We'll be talking more toys here on ToyCast very soon.